in, new life. You hadn't seen me this morning yet, right? I've been up here a little extra today because we're doing some things in-house that are important. And it has a lot to do with what we're going to talk about today. It has a lot to do with this series that we're in on the promise. And leaders are being developed. People are being invested in. Discipleship is happening. Amen. Because the fields are white and the laborers are few. There's a lot of professed believers all over our world, but there's not very many laborers. And we want to address the reason behind that, if that's okay. And I'm not going to preach at nobody today. Amen. God's already got my number, and so I'm going to speak from my heart on where I'm at, what God is saying to me, and hopefully today you'll be encouraged. Amen. And not beat up in any way, but like, oh, thank you, Lord, that you're talking to us and you're into the detail. Anybody agree that he's into the detail? And so as we invest in more people, amen, and disciple them, you'll see you may be up here encouraging people. You should be up here, amen, talking about how we celebrate the Lord and blessing other church families. Amen. That's how powerful you are, and I know that. But there's resistance to walking in the Spirit, isn't there? Everybody agree with that? Resistance is real. And whether it's external or internal, the enemy's at work. Whether you feel oppressed, depressed, full of anxiety, fear, doubt, whatever it is that you're dealing with, that's the resistor resisting you being who you're designed to be as you walk in the Spirit. Amen. We're spirit beings first. You're way more powerful than you think. And your spirit man is more real than what you look at in the mirror. Got to catch that. That's a shell of who you are. That's the temple of the Holy Spirit in fellowship with your spirit. Come on, I mean, y'all got to catch this. When you look at yourself in the mirror, remember this. That shell that you're looking at is the temple of the Holy Spirit in fellowship with your spirit so that he can be king of his kingdom within you, and then from you he can pour his glory and goodness into the earth. That's who you are. And I know the enemy's not telling you that. He's not telling me that. But when I make up my mind that I'm going to fellowship with Jesus, that's what I hear him say to my spirit. And it encourages me. And next thing you know, I can't help but tell somebody else about how powerful they are. Anybody want to go there with the Lord? Because that fire that we need is dependent upon us having fellowship with the presence of God. And so the enemy's working overtime every day of the week, every day of the month, every day of the year, resisting you. He's out to kill, destroy, to steal your faith. If he can get your faith, he gets the one thing that pleases God about you. I'm going to say that one more time. It's important we catch this. The thing that pleases God about you is the faith you have in him. But the question is, how did you get that faith? Was it because we're smart? Or did we have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church? Faith comes by hearing, not Pastor Lowe, but what the Holy Spirit's saying to you. That's why he sends the Comforter, to remind you of everything he ever said. And everything means everything he ever said. Who said that? Jesus said that. Does anybody believe Jesus tells the truth? That you have been given his Spirit as a comfort to remind you of everything he ever... And when you're getting reminded, guess what? Oh, those thoughts are from heaven. That's why we think on those things which are true, just, honest, pure, and of good report. Where is it coming from? We're not smart enough to think of that. It takes God to give us the thoughts, which equals an ear to hear what his Spirit is saying. We get this thing down simple, aren't we? Because the only weapon the enemy has is thoughts against us. He comes in waves with thoughts. And we're encouraged through the Spirit to cast down every thought that exalts itself above God and His thoughts. Hello? And bring into obedience what He's saying so that our disobedience is taken care of. Is this helping somebody? So we're channels, we're conduit, we're vessels, we're temples of the Holy Spirit. And we become the mouthpiece of God, not weird and spooky, but we're saying what God's saying, and it's attractive because when Jesus said only what He heard His Father say, multitudes come in waves. People ain't running from Him because He's spooky and weird. They're coming to Him because what He's saying is impacting them and changing their lives. And He dealt with the resistor too. He dealt with the enemy too on a level that you and I don't have to deal with. He put the boy in his place. He put him down. He body slammed him by taking on the death we deserve to die so that we could live and have this life. Where does this life come from? By hearing the voice of God. And so when you open up that book called the Bible, which you should be thankful for, don't just read it, hear it. If you're not hearing it, you're not getting what you need from it. Amen? Amen. So be it. Resistance is real as you begin to develop in your walk with God. And I want to take some time today to encourage you because everyone in this room is a leader. And the reason I know this, and you should know it, is because you have influence with people. There are people that are attracted to you for a reason. And the enemy's goal is to make you feel less than who you are so you won't minister to them. And great leaders are followers first. They're subject to the Spirit of God to follow Him. And as a great leader, when you follow, then you're able to baptize and make disciples who follow and become great leaders. And so the resistor's continuing to play his game, to manipulate us. Can I tell you a story? I'm going to tell you a part of mine. I'm going to give you a Bible story so that you can understand mine better. And you can cry for me as I tell you. Oh, man, I feel you, Pastor. But this guy was taken up in a chariot of fire. And for you that haven't read the story, there was a man by the name of Elijah that one day the Lord said, come on, Elijah, it's time to go home. And he come picked him up in a chariot of fire. And he left his mantle to Elisha, one of his disciples. And he had a double portion of anointing. I hope you're tracking with me. Because you have what it takes to give those that God's given you influence with, to give them a double portion of what you have. Whew. That should track here in a second. Okay, it will. Just let me help you. This same man that was taken up in a chariot of fire had just got through annihilating 850 voices. Called them false prophets in the scripture. He took them out. 450 at Mount Carmel and 450 in a little town not far from there that he had his other cohorts gather up. You gather them up because I'm going to finish them off too. And he did. And it wasn't about him taking out 850 prophets that was the point. It was about the message that Israel was getting. Man, there was a message that was going out to Israel. And guess what? Elijah is having a party. He's playing. He's laughing at them, all the false prophets. They couldn't get fire to come down from heaven. Their God was dead and didn't have no power whatsoever. And he's just playing. He got to having fun in Daddy's playground. He said, no, I want you to dig me these trenches. And I mean, that boy, they dug a big one. And it took many, 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 many gallons of water to fill it up. And he waited till it got full. And then he walks over there, and less than just a few moments, he said, okay, Daddy. Now, this is my interpretation. do your thing. And Daddy said, I will. Thank you for asking. And he licked that water up in moments. And then Elijah proceeded to take care of all the voices that were against Israel. And so the message was the most important thing. It wasn't about the false prophets that were taken out. It was about God got a message through to his church because he loves her. Does that help anybody? And so when stuff happens in our world, remember, stupid is going on all around us. And it's not because God is doing none of it. It's because we make choices that set us up for stupid. Okay, well, let me help you, because I'm going to tell my story in a minute. I've got to tell you about Elijah first, because he's the man that was taken up in a chariot of fire, and he did stupid too. Because right after this wonderful event, and he takes out 850 voices, one voice gets him freaked out. One voice came and said, today, your life is going to be just like one of those prophets you killed. Today. From Queen Jezebel. And his knees just started. He got weak. He just got. Now keep in mind, this is important for you to note, that when Ahab was in his chariot trying to get to Israel, I mean, he had the fastest chariot and the fastest horses. The king always has the fastest. Elijah runs by him in waves and beats him. This is the guy that's freaking out over one voice. He just took out 850 prophets. He just called fire down from heaven. He outruns Ahab's chariot when it's time for rain to come. That happened prior. Are y'all getting this? And he's freaking out over one voice. And I challenge you, some of you are too. Just one little bit of resistance. And I can say that because praise God on me, because he showed me how I did it. And when you hear something that makes you fearful, this is what Elijah did. When you hear the wrong voice and you think that voice is telling you the truth, that the day you're going out, you're going to die today. Anybody ever heard that before? You ain't going to make it through the day. Oh, this is good for some of us today. What's the first thing that begins to happen? Negative talk inside. Not only do you start thinking negative and doubting who you are and that God don't care, you then isolate yourself. Anybody did that? This is what Elijah did. He started negative talk right off the bat, and then he tells his cohort, Gehazi, you hang out in this town, I'm going to be by myself. I don't want nobody around. You get isolated. That's when you know you've been. Some of you are going to start tracking here in just a few moments over why you're not being who God called you to be. And it's not because God is not there to help you be that. It's because the enemy's lied to you. And this negative talk is you're believing something that's not true. You heard, because you're powerful, you got ears to hear, you heard the wrong voice. And you got negative talk coming out of you. You're isolated. Not only are you isolated, your emotions are running you away from God. But that ain't the only thing. There's number four. Comparison begins. The comparison trap. Oh, I'm the only one that cares about God and his kingdom, and I'm being treated like this. Has anybody ever thought like that before? That I've been doing my best and here I am being beat up like this. Now, we're talking about Elijah. And he finds him a tree quickly as he can. But he can run fast. He ran fast enough to get to that tree. Paraphrasing it. And he got to a place where he could sit down and he could put his thumb in his mouth and suck it. And then start whining, Lord, take me, I don't want to live. Kill me. I'm no better than the prophets before me. And I mean, he just had a sad sack story just flowing. He falls asleep. He cries himself to sleep, whimpering and whining in the fetal position. God loves us, don't he? And this is for us. Did you know that you're more precious to God on this side of grace than anyone that were in the law? that you're more powerful, you're more anointed on this side of the cross than anyone on the other side prior to grace? Is that tracking? That's what Jesus says about you. You're greater than. Okay, well, we're talking about Elijah got taken in the chariot of fire now, aren't we? Could outrun horses. Call fire down from heaven. Amen. He's in the fetal position, asleep, whimpering still, snotting. I mean, he's just all messed up because it's unfair. And the angel come and nudged him and tells him, an angel. And God gives the angels charge over us. So this angel knows his responsibility to take care of Elijah, even when he's hard-headed. Oh, y'all not here today because y'all smart. You're not here because you're strong. God's been keeping you because he ain't through reaching you. He's chasing you down. And all we need to realize is, man, why don't we just come out from under the shadows and say, here I am, Lord. Use me. Do what you need to do. Get me. Ah, I'm tired of sucking my thumb. It's raw. Right? So the angel nudges him and said, look, eat. I mean, hot bread. The angel makes him hot bread and gives him a jar of water. And said, now eat, because the journey you're on, you're going to need it. And it's not God's journey. This journey you're on is all about you. And you're going to kill yourself if I don't take care of you. He goes back to sleep. The angel nudges him again, has him wake up and eat some more. Because that's how hard-headed Elijah got. He got so wrapped up in his complaint and his isolation and comparison ideas that he's made his mind up. I'll do what I feel like I need to do, bless God. And the angel makes him eat and drink, because you're going to kill yourself if I don't protect you. And he goes 40 days and nights all the way to Mount Sinai, the Mount of God, and he gets in that cave where God gave the law to Moses. And when he gets there, this is what God says. What are you doing here? Anybody hearing the voice of God yet? Because negative talk, isolation, comparison, and our emotions will lead us away from God. But you know what? God will work with it so mercifully, and he'll wait till we get through with our little journey. And when we get through with it, he'll ask us, what you doing here? Well, Lord, you don't understand. I'm the only one in Israel that's standing up for you. And the Lord says to him, really? And then God, now this is before he really speaks to him, because he asked him that question again. God shows himself in the wind and the fire and earthquake and this still, gentle voice. And when Elijah heard the still, gentle voice of the Lord, he wraps his head, he stands up, and he goes out of the cave. And God says again, Elijah, what are you doing here? And Elijah said, Lord, I'm the only one that's standing up for you. Come on, some of you, I know y'all felt like, man, I'm the only one that's got an idea what God's doing. Okay, I've done it before. Y'all pray for me. You don't care, Lord. And the Lord says, now, you go back from where you're running from. Go back. Get back there now. There's 7,000 that haven't bowed their knee. And they ain't running like you, Elijah. Boy, he felt like a real man then, didn't he? Go back, because I haven't given you a great appointment. But this appointment that you're on is going to cause great things to happen. You're going to ordain and anoint kings and prophets. And so Elijah gets what he needs because right there, God gives him an experience. And this is so important for everyone to catch this. The presence of God came to Elijah when he was sucking his thumb. He didn't deserve it. Just like God's presence meets us when we get together. Y'all notice how we come together. The presence of God shows up. Not because we deserve it, but because he loves us. And his presence is there to give us an experience with him, an empowerment with him, that will cause us to do what Elijah did. Elijah gave God his heart. Now I'm talking about, how many of you think you've given God your heart and you find out later, man, negative talks, you know, you got the comparison going on and the isolation and the emotions are running. And I know I gave my heart back in 1974. But you gave what you could give at that point, but you really hadn't given it yet. Because the only way you can give it is through empowerment. Oh, we're going to catch on here in a second. Jesus is about to leave in the clouds. And he tells the group that's been following him. He says, I'm paraphrasing, you go read it in Acts chapter 1 yourself. Don't go out there and try to be witnesses yet. You're not ready. But hold steady, because I'm coming back and I'm going to baptize you with spirit and with fire. Just like John said, behold the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. That's the one that's going to baptize you with spirit and fire. He tells them to hold on, because I'm going to empower you. I'm going to give you the promise of my Father. And in Acts chapter 2, while they were hanging out on the day of Pentecost, feast day, 50, what it means, 50 days after Passover, there came a sound like as of a wind. It wasn't a wind, it was the Spirit of God. That's how God comes, like a wind. And there fell on them cloven tongues like as of. It wasn't fire like you see fire, it was a spirit fire. This is the baptism of spirit and fire, just like it was promised. And what happens is they're filled with an experience and empowerment. And they're able now to go with boldness and be witnesses. Let me ask a question. Ever been intimidated to witness? You reckon why? Because you ain't ready yet. And the Lord wants to get you ready. But for you to do what he gives us as a type and a shadow in the Old Testament, in the New, you're going to need spirit and fire to do it. Just like Elijah needed that rendezvous with heaven and experience from God so he could give him his heart. And all of a sudden, he's not afraid no more. He's bold. And you don't want to meet Elijah and try to take him out now. You don't want to mess with him at that point. He leaves that mountain, and he knows with no uncertain terms what his mission is. And you ain't going to stop it. Ain't nobody going to stop it. Matter of fact, he was just on a stroll. He knew, hey man, I'm in the spirit right now. And I'm going to anoint that king. And whatever that king does not take care of, this king Jehu, he's going to take care of. And if this king don't get all of it taken care of, then this prophet Elisha, he's going to take care of it. And my mission is to ordain them. My mission is to disciple them. My mission is to baptize them in the anointing of God. Is anybody tracking yet? And that great commission that Jesus gives to all that were before him, it's the same mission he's given to all of us, to whosoever will. He's calling every one of us to be who he designed us to be. We're to carry his name, his spirit, his presence, and to go into all the world and baptize and make disciples. You have no other mission. Well, Pastor, I thought that was the person with the mic. He's supposed to do all that stuff. Let me help you. As a pastor and teacher, I equip you. That's what my calling is. I don't go pray for the sick. Pause for effect. As a pastor and teacher, I pray for the sick as a believer. I'm the body. I'm of the body too. I'm of the bride too. But as a pastor teacher, I'm here to equip you for the ministry of the work, to go out and to be who you're designed to be. So as a believer, I get to pray for the sick too. I get to go, amen, and encourage and witness and talk about what the kingdom's doing. Are you tracking? But the enemy's resisting it every day. And the church world has bought into all kinds of ideas on what the harvest is and how we're to go do it. But let me make it simple for you today. If you want to be who God says you are, we're talking about resistance to walking in the Spirit. You're powerful. But there's only so many people that God puts in front of me in any given day or week or month. And he don't put too many so that I'm spread out like butter. This is good. This is really good. Because if I keep doing what the church world tells me to do, I play Messiah all week long. I'm not the Messiah. There's only one Messiah. But you and I are an extension of his anointed ministry. And as members of his body, how can the hand say to the foot, I have no need of thee? As a member of his body, he's the head. Not Dwayne Lowe. He's the head. I am the best man at the wedding, and I am there for one objective, to make sure all the praise goes to him and the one he puts on display, his church. I'm not the most important person in this building right now. He is, and you are. If I'm to serve you correctly, you're more important than me. Okay. When you're more concerned about the needs of others than yourself, come on, it's in your book called the Bible in Philippians. When you're more concerned about the needs of those that God puts in front of you than you, this is the mind of Christ. Anybody want to put the mind of Christ on? But you're not going to put it on as long as there's negative talk, comparison, emotions that's leading you away from God, and isolation going on in your life. Can't. But Pastor, you don't understand. As soon, I'm spread like butter. I'm busy. Everybody's busy. As soon as I get my 401ks where they belong and my retirement account where it belongs, I'll be ready to work for Jesus. No, you won't. Ain't happening. It's a lie. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the appointed time for you to step up and be. All God's asking me and you to do is take care of what's in front of us. He's got angels that he's put in charge of you to take care of all that other stuff. Well, that sounds right, but that's hard to believe. The only reason it's hard to believe is because you're listening to other voices. And God's called you like he did Elijah to take those voices out. But I'm just going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, voices are real. Oh, man, Pastor Lowe's got mental problems. No. I'm going to tell you my story so you can find my mental problem out. At New Life Fellowship, ladies and gentlemen, about 20 years ago in that range, I was ministering one Sunday morning in a storefront. In the storefront, but from stage to that, it was a little small, humble setting. It was full of people. We'd about 6 months old, and God was just doing his thing. And I'm ministering the good news, and all of a sudden he prompts me to say, God's going to give us property. I just said it, and all of the people, about 60 of them in there, jumped up. All of them jumped up and said, yeah. And that was the miracle. Like, okay, they heard what I heard too. Because, man, when you say something God says and everybody else says, amen, let it be so. Dude, the enemy ain't got no choice. He got to give it up because that's what happened. And so after the service that day, we had a wonderful time. I grabbed Dean Keller and one of the members and said, let's go find out where this piece of property is. He said, let's do. And so we got in my little vehicle and we drove around Universal City and we stopped on the corner of this property right here and stopped. And I was about to say, man, do you feel what I feel? And he said, do you feel what I feel? I said, okay, lady, you're getting funny now. I said, this is it then. Quickly, just letting you know. I mean, it happened in the next 4 months. It was deeded over to that little church family from a group of people in New Jersey. And all I did was get up one morning having my coffee with Jesus, and he said, go call a number. And this is how Daddy talks. I mean, I just knew to go out and call a number. I didn't. That's how I hear. I just have this knowing. Go. Somebody's going to track it with that in a minute. They're going to realize, okay, that's what's going on inside of me. Ah, it's not a voice I hear with an outer ear. It's an inner knowing. So I went and called this number on Kitty Hawk. First number I found, Dolan Contractors. I called that number in New Jersey. They said, oh, it's July. They said, we'll be there in October. We'll call you. And I'm thinking, okay, I did what the Lord told me, but inside I'm going, yeah, right. Uh-oh, there's another voice that's saying, no, they ain't going to call you. And so I'm dealing with this other thought that's trying to invade what I just did that was obedient. And the Lord is having me do stuff that's like, it's going to be impossible. But he majors in impossible. In October, they show up. They call me. They want to meet me at my church. They want to talk to me about me, not about that property, which wasn't the property God said. It was just a sign that had a number on it. And I didn't know they had anything to do with this property. Are y'all catching this yet? And so I tell them about what God's doing and why we're here, what we're doing, and we're excited about serving this community. And they listen to me for 30 minutes and say, okay, get back with us and tell her what you want to give us for that property, which isn't the property. I said, I hope we don't embarrass you. He said, you can't. That night, this property was given to us. You'll have to come back and get the rest of the story from me. But that's not the point of my story. The story is what happens next. The city and the state start blocking everything. Voice. And what it did, and I didn't realize because they started blocking everything, I thought I needed to go take care of that. And I refocused my objective on making sure we was able to move on this property. You know what it cost me? That's what it cost me. Hear me. Yes, the city gave in, let go, and let us do it, but it was months before they did it. It was 10 years before we could build. Y'all got to track with me. It wasn't that was God's perfect will. That was acceptable. I'll work with it. But when the Lord told me, this is what got me, y'all. This is going to help somebody here. He said, son, I didn't tell you to go do that. And man, it was like it set in. Because it's like he said to Elijah, so what are you doing here for? Well, Lord, they're messing up your miracle. Then I got to fix it. I'm working hard for you. He said, why are you here now? And when he got through with me, he let me know. He said, son, I put something little in front of you. All I need you to do was go anoint the people that have influence to take care of that. I need you to take care of what's in front of you. Does anybody ever get involved in doing angel's work? Like trying to provide for yourself and put food on the table and live up to an American dream, which I thank God for my nation. Thank God for America. But the culture does not support his message. God has put people in front of you that when you take care of his business, you don't have negative talk. You don't have emotional strain and anxiety and oppression, depression. You don't have this comparisons going on all the time and gossip. All that gets in that. Next thing you know, you're comparing yourself among yourself. And you're isolated. Woe is me. But I believe in Jesus. I'll be at church on Sunday. Praise God. Is anybody tracking? And you put everything on hold. The Lord let me know. He said, son, the next time you take this test and you'll be taking it, stay on point. Take care of what's in front of you. I've called you to ordain, to anoint, to disciple. Everything you need is in front of you. If you're here today and you know there's some negative talk going on in your spirit, if you're here today and you're emotionally wore out, but you still believe in Jesus, but you believe him when you got your thumb in your mouth and you're tripping over your bottom lip. If you're isolated, if you're comparing yourself as being the only one that's working hard for Jesus, know this. You're at a place the Lord's asking you, why are you there? What got you there? What voice caused you to go there? And now the Lord's saying, it's time to go back to where you belong in the Spirit. It's time to go back to your identity and answer the call to the Great Commission. It's time to make the commission great again. He ain't gonna do it without you. But he's so good. He's so merciful. He'll wait on us till we wear out. He'll wait on us and let us go to church until we decide, you know what? I'm through going. I'm going to be the church. The resistor's not stopping. Does anybody agree with that? He's not stopping. And what's he after? He's after your faith in who you are and the mission God put you on. And the only way you can have that sound in your spirit, it comes by hearing, experiencing, being empowered to give your heart to God so that you can step into your identity. Can God do that today? Will God do that today? Yes, he will. But Elijah has got to stand up in the cave, humble himself, and walk out of it. And posture himself before God so that God can empower him to give his heart to him. Some of us today need to give our heart to him. We haven't given our heart to him. We know a lot of scripture. We've seen a lot of church. We've been involved in a lot of things that looks like church. But we haven't given our heart to him. We've said the sinner's prayer before. We may have been baptized in water. But we haven't given our heart to him yet. When you give him your heart, there's no voice in this world that will sway you from the mission. Your mission is to receive the promise, experience freedom, change the world. That's your mission. I'll say that one more time. Your mission is to receive the promise, baptism and fire and spirit. Right? Experience freedom. I know that I know that I know. I'm not afraid of nothing. God's given me a mission. It's going to happen. I don't care what happens. If I got to walk through the fire and it's 7 times hotter, I'm coming out on the other end. I ain't going to have no smoke on me neither. If I got to go through the lion's den, I'm going through and I'm going to use them as a pillow to rest tonight. I'm going to fulfill my mission because I'm a world changer. I'm a life changer. I have been set apart by God, called by his name. We are the witness of the kingdom. If you believe that today, I encourage you to stand. Hey, meet me up here because I need more of Jesus. And I found out today there's more of my heart than I need to give up to him. And I'm not satisfied at where I'm at. I'm going higher. I'm going deeper. I'm getting part of this thing wider. Ah, and the enemy can't stop it.